All right, welcome back everyone to the deep dive. We're diving into a pretty interesting case today from the Eighth Circuit, Nick V. Morgan's Foods, Inc. And, you know, at first glance, you might be thinking, oh, another employment law case. What's so special about this one? But trust me, there's a really important lesson here, especially for anyone listening who's thinking about, you know, heading into the legal field.
Absolutely. And it's a lesson that goes beyond just the you know, the specifics of this particular case. We're talking about ADR, right? Alternative dispute resolution. And what happens when, well, when one side doesn't really take it seriously. I mean, this is something you guys are going to be dealing with all the time as lawyers. So pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be guiding clients through this stuff, you know, and this case is like a masterclass in what not to do. I mean, we're talking serious consequences here, not just, oh, the mediation failed. Nope, we're talking sanctions and big ones.
Right. And not just a slap on the wrist. The district court hit both Morgan's Foods, the company, and their lawyers with financial penalties, like actually had to pay up.
So that sends a pretty strong message.
Oh, yeah. The court was not messing around.
So, okay, let's break it down. What exactly was G.G. Nick suing Morgan's Foods about in the first place?
So this was a Title VII claim alleging, you know, the usual stuff, sexual harassment, retaliation in the workplace. And the court, like a lot of courts do these days, said, all right, you two go try and work this out before we go to trial. Order them to participate in ADR.
Makes sense. ADR is pretty standard these days, right? Trying to settle things outside the courtroom.
Oh, yeah. Very common. And, you know, it's supposed to be a good thing. Save everyone time and money. But in this case, the court issued a referral order, basically laying out exactly what they expected from both sides in the ADR process. And that's where things started to go sideways big time.
Okay, so what did Morgan's Foods do, or I guess not do, that got them into so much trouble?
Well, right off the bat, they didn't submit a pre-mediation memorandum. That's a document, you know, kind of like a roadmap for the mediator. Outlines each side's case, what they're arguing, what their position is.
Yeah.
Helps the mediator, you know, understand the whole situation before everyone sits down together.
Yeah, that seems like, you know, kind of important, like basic prep work.
Exactly. But that wasn't all. So then, at the actual mediation, the person they sent to represent Morgan's Foods only had authority to settle for, like, $500?
$500. Serious.
Yeah, $500 for a Title VII case? I mean, come on. That's not even a drop in the bucket.
Sounds like they weren't really serious about settling.
Not even a little bit. It's like they were just going through the motions, you know, checking a box. And get this, the actual decision maker, the person who could actually approve a decent settlement, wasn't even there. So, of course, the mediation completely bombed.
So then the district court's like, okay, you guys clearly didn't take this seriously at all.
Right. And they were furious. They saw this as a blatant disregard for the court's order and a complete waste of everyone's time. So they did something about it. Sanctions. And not just a warning or a small fine either. Actual financial penalties against both Morgan's Foods and their lawyers. They had to pay up for their bad behavior.
So Morgan's Foods gets hit with these sanctions, and what do they do?
Well, it tried to fight back. They filed a motion for reconsideration, basically begging the court to take back the sanctions. They argued that it was unfair, that they shouldn't be held responsible for their lawyers messing up.
So did it work?
Nope, not even close. The district court not only denied their motion, but actually slapped them with even more sanctions. They said the motion was frivolous, a waste of the court's time, and they weren't having it.
Wow. Double whammy. So at this point, Morgan's Foods has got to be thinking, okay, maybe we should have taken this ADR thing a bit more seriously.
You'd think. But instead of admitting they messed up, they decided to double down and appeal the sanctions all the way to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. They argued that the district court was out of line, abused its power.
And what did the Eighth Circuit say?
They sided with the district court, affirmed the sanctions. They basically said, look, the district court has every right to make sure people follow their orders, especially when it comes to ADR. And if you don't take it seriously, you're going to face the music.
So two courts agree Morgan's Foods messed up. But where does the court get the power to do this? I mean, can they just penalize anyone who doesn't settle in ADR?
That's a great question, and it's important to understand where this authority comes from. There are actually three main sources. First, you've got Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 16. It covers pretrial conferences, and courts have said that includes things like mandatory ADR. This rule specifically gives judges the power to issue sanctions if a party doesn't participate in good faith, or doesn't show up prepared, or skips out altogether.
So there's a specific rule that gives them that power. What else?
Second, there's this thing called inherent judicial authority. Basically, it's the power courts have to manage their own business, make sure things run smoothly and fairly. So when someone acts in bad faith and tries to disrupt that, like Morgan's Foods did here, the court can step in and say, nope, not on my watch.
Makes sense. Keeps things from getting out of control. What about the third source?
Yes, the local rules. Every district court has its own set of local rules, and these often have specific requirements for ADR. In this case, the district court's referral order, which was probably based on those local rules, likely said something about needing someone with actual settlement authority at the mediation. And Morgan's Foods totally ignored that.
Okay, so Morgan's Foods tries to play the blame game. They're like, oh, it was our lawyer's fault. Don't blame us, the company. How did the Eighth Circuit respond to that?
They shut it down, basically. The court said, look, you hired these lawyers. You're responsible for what they do. There's this principle in the law that clients are accountable for their lawyers' actions. It's a two-way street. You as lawyers have a responsibility to your clients, but clients can't just stick their heads in the sand and say, oh, my lawyer will handle it.
Right. You've got to be engaged in your own case.
Exactly. And to make things even worse for Morgan's Foods, their own in-house legal team admitted they knew all about the case and what was going on with the ADR. So they couldn't even pretend they were clueless.
Oof, talk about shooting yourself in the foot. So the courts clearly weren't buying Morgan's Foods excuses, but were the sanctions too harsh? I mean, were they proportionate to what they did wrong?
Well, that's always a question with sanctions, right?
Yeah.
Making sure they're not too extreme. But the Eighth Circuit specifically looked at that and said, no, the sanctions were perfectly fair. They said, look, these sanctions are meant to cover the other side's costs, you know, the money they wasted because Morgan's Foods wasn't playing by the rules. And they're also meant to deter this kind of behavior in the future. So they saw it as a reasonable response, not some kind of, you know, over-the-top punishment.
Okay, so what are the key takeaways from this case, especially for our listeners who are on their way to becoming lawyers?
I think the biggest takeaway is this. Court-ordered ADR is not a joke. You can't just phone it in. Courts expect genuine participation, and they have the power to back that up with real consequences. You know, sending someone who can't actually settle the case or just going through the motions is not going to fly.
It's about being prepared and actually trying to resolve the dispute.
Exactly. And here's another big one, client accountability. As lawyers, you got to educate your clients about their responsibilities, make sure they understand what's expected of them. They can't just blame their lawyers when things go wrong.
Right. It's a team effort.
Exactly. And the third takeaway is sanctions are a real thing, and courts have a lot of leeway in how they use them. The specific sanctions will depend on the situation, but they can be serious. In this case, it was financial, but it could be something else entirely.
You mentioned earlier a really powerful quote from the Eighth Circuit's opinion. What was it again?
Oh, yeah. The court said, to require other parties to attend a mediation where the representative has no real authority negates the mediation's function. Basically, they were saying that Morgan's Foods completely undermined the whole purpose of ADR. And they were not happy about it.
No kidding. That's a pretty clear message. Any other practical tips for aspiring lawyers based on this case?
One more thing. Know your local rules. They can make a huge difference in how things work, especially with ADR. Ignorance is not an excuse. You got to stay on top of those rules, or you could end up costing your client a lot of money.
So, bottom line, Nick v. Morgan's Foods is a huge wake-up call for anyone involved in litigation. ADR is not something to be taken lightly. You got to be prepared, you got to have authority, and you got to engage in good faith. Otherwise, there will be consequences.
Absolutely. And I think this case speaks to a broader issue, too. The importance of following the rules and acting in good faith at every part of the legal process. One little slip up, like blowing off ADR, can snowball into a huge mess.
It's about respecting the system and understanding that actions have consequences. Great insights. This was a really eye-opening deep dive. So for our listeners out there, as you move forward in your legal careers, think about this case. How are you going to make sure your clients understand their obligations and avoid ending up in a situation like Morgan's Foods? It's something to really keep in mind. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.